You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We move on from matters of incentives to matters of penalties. In December as well, the South African Reserve Bank announced that they would be imposing a 56 million rand penalty on Capitec Bank for what they considered to be non-compliance with certain provisions of the Financial Intelligence Center Act, the FICA. I'm joined on the line by our resident banking specialist and director at Denker Capital, Kokkie Kooyman, to take a look at this and see if we can understand the implications. Good evening, Kokkie. Lovely to catch up with you. A pleasant New Year to you, and hopefully a very good 2025 ahead. Let's start with the penalty announcement itself, seemingly catching some people off guard, but Capitec also coming out and saying from their perspective that they don't necessarily agree with the administrative sanctions being imposed on them. What do we make of that?
Yeah, I think firstly, the penalty itself is small. It's 56 million rand. I mean, for most people, that's not small. But for a bank the size of Capitec, profit for the year, let's say, is around roughly 13 billion rand. So, yeah, 56 million is a 0.05% or something. It's a very small amount. And the language of the prudential authority used as well is not condemning. It's actually, but make no mistake, the lapses, if correct, and I'm sure you know there will have been lapses, is always serious because it is a serious matter, especially us wanting to get off the grey listing, off our grey listing. So yes, number one, the two types of lapses that occurred. The one is non-compliance with regulations, and that is the necessary, call it due diligence on opening of new accounts. And everybody, all listeners know the slip of having to open an account, of doing a transaction, proving your identity, proving your proof of residence, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I think Capitec, and I'm just assuming here, the size of the new branches, new staff growth means they're obviously training might have not been adequate. I don't know. But there have been lapses in that, and it's quite easy, I think, to happen when you've got a bank that size. The other one is non-reporting of certain transactions. When a certain transaction goes over a certain amount, then they have to report that, and it seems that there were lapses there. I'm not quite sure. We haven't been able to get a hold of Capitec yet to find out exactly what it is, but I wouldn't be too worried about it. Obviously, the key is that Capitec is aware of it, will be redressing any deficiency found, and the follow-up inspection will obviously focus on that. Bear in mind as well, this was 21 and 22. 21, it was the retail bank, and 22, it was the business bank that were investigated. And it's a long process of the report being written, the prudential authority then writing back to the bank, sending the report to the bank, sending a reply. And so that's why this takes so long. The good thing, I think, for listeners is, and citizens of South Africa, is you can see the machinery and the workings behind the machinery of the Reserve Bank doing everything it can to ensure that the financial system is safe, and they investigate each bank and make sure, you know, that the regulations that are important to keep our money safe is being complied with.
Kokkie, you brought up quite an interesting point around the grey listing. Obviously, this is the year we aim to get off that grey list. We know that we have a couple of opportunities to do that throughout the year. From a banking perspective and from a financial sector perspective, we've definitely seen the likes of Saab and the likes of the FSCA and the likes of SARS being on a very concerted effort alongside institutions like the Prudential Authority to make sure that on the financial side of it, things are looking a lot cleaner and a lot better from a money laundering and those sorts of other concerns that FATF had with us. Where do we stand from a grey listing perspective now following this particular kind of sanctions or these kinds of penalties being imposed? Is this something we could likely to see other banks being going through?
Yeah, it's interesting. Last year we saw a few of the smaller banks being found guilty and penalised, and Capitec is the first one of the larger banks. I'm sure, judging from the time lapse, the 2 year or the time period between the initial investigations and the fining, the other banks will also have been investigated. I cannot imagine that they will get 100% score. So we'll see more of these. I think what's important for the grey listing is that the international authorities can see that the Reserve Bank and the Prudential Authority, in this case, the arm which does the work, actually does that. It does inspect the banks. The banks are fined and follow-ups are done to make sure that lapses are rectified. So I think that's an important one. On the grey listing itself, I think the problem, the remaining problems were more to do with the investigative authorities, that not insufficient number of crimes were reported were seen to go through the courts and convictions that followed. And I think that was more a problem that seemed to have been the issue. So we'll see during the year now, early in the year, as the Hawks keep processing more cases. But I think that is the important thing. I think the banks, insurance companies, even initially a problem was with the property companies as well, were a problem. But I think generally they get a fairly good audit bill on that score.
Corky,
so I think we're still on we should still make it by the end of the year. Let's hope so.
Corky, do you think a lot of the grey listing pressure is being placed from the financial side of it? Because at the end of the day, whether we're looking at real estate, whether we're looking at the legal side of it, it doesn't really matter what other sectors we look at. The actual transactions and the movement of money takes place in the financial sector with the authorized dealers, with the banks, and with the financial institutions. Do you think that's why it's important to get that sector right first and foremost, more so than other sectors?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I'm challenging to run a 10K race on Saturday, but I say, I'm going to put weights around your ankles. Yeah, it's going to slow you down. So it's the same. There are weights around our ankles on the financial sector, which just slows down financial transactions and makes them more costly, makes them slower, especially when it comes to international transactions. And so for that regard, I mean, the key for South Africa 2025 is we must do everything we can to actually reduce red tape, reduce regulatory burdens, make things more efficient. And this is one of them that will help. It's obviously only one, but each one will count. And this is one where we can easily do something about it.
Corky, do you believe that the banking sector, in terms of whether it's red tape or legislation and adjustments, do you think the banking sector needs to be a little bit bigger? I mean, we've got the 3, 4, 5 big players that we kind of know of at this stage, and we've got the likes of the smaller players that are whether delisting in the case of Sasfin or still struggling to come out of mutual bank status. Do you think we need more players in this space so that it opens up the banking and financial sector space a little more?
Short answer, no. but it's a huge debate. Look, I mean, the point is you do want smaller banks, you do want challenger banks, and it's also just to make sure that you don't develop an oligopoly, large banks who work together. But banking's become such a complex industry and so expensive in terms of technology and so important in terms of the economy, that you run the risk when you allow smaller banks who then open the country up to risks of fraud. We've seen it with VBS, we've seen it with the Building Society or the Mutual Society in Natal, we've seen it with the Post Office Bank. Banking is technology heavy, and so in most other countries, Canada's only got 3 large banks. Brazil has actually only got 4 large banks. Yeah, so many countries have a number of, let's say, 3, 4 large banks, but then do open up to smaller banks to just allow the challenge. In South Africa, we've got, obviously, Sasfin has had its problems, but you've got Capitec, you've got African Bank now coming back, you've got Michael Yordan's
Bank Zero.
You've got Time Bank coming through all over. So there are enough challenges, but it's always important to keep those challenges and enable them. And the Reserve Bank there, I think, has been very good at giving licenses where the competence can be proved. I think that's the most important. You, as a bank, to be allowed into the system and take deposits from the public, the public must know that its deposits are safe. And that's why, you know, it's very important to have a healthy banking system.
A healthy banking system is definitely needed. It can also be argued that having more players in this space could open it up for financing smaller businesses better. But we'll leave the conversation there. Corky, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Corky Koyman, a director at Denker Capital, on the sanctions that were imposed on Capitec and what it means for South Africa and its efforts to get off of that grey list.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.